And I do want to give a huge shout out to all these guys, though, because they came up and they put in the hours to get ready. They come up a day early, and they do it all so that y'all can experience that. So I want to give a shout out to our band. They do a great job. Man, as I said earlier, we just got back from Broken Bow, Oklahoma for our uprising in 2022, and I know you're probably expecting Pastor Tim Bourne, my father, right now. He's been dealing with some back issues for the last week, and he gave it all for y'all this weekend, and so he's recovering right now. But we wanted to share some goodness from this weekend, and we learned throughout this weekend on Thursday and Friday, we were going to commit and give our word on four different things this year as the men, as the brotherhood of this church. We said we were going to be a what? Triple threat, right? We said, I will give my life. That's right. We said, I will walk. And I will worship. That's right. And man, we drove nails through those words. And we looked our leaders in the eye and we said, I'll be here next year. And I'm not going to just tell you. I'm going to. That's right. Man, and Pastor Tim brought the word on Thursday. He brought the word on Friday. He told a story about the Apostle Paul. He needed to escape a city one day. And they, some men that were with him found a hole in the city wall. So they let him down through a basket. And we learned about how we realized the Apostle Paul at that moment in time had not pinned down any of the New Testament that we know today. He didn't write all of it, but he wrote near half of it, possibly more. And we wouldn't have those words today if he didn't have men around him who were willing to hold the rope. And we need men at this church who can hold the rope so that the word can get where it needs to go. And I know a lot of you received a word this weekend. And I know a lot of the stories, but I know we have some men on our team who know even more of those stories. So would you help me welcome those guys on our stage. We're going to recap some from this weekend. We just want to give you guys a little piece of the goodness and try to paint a picture for what it is that God does at these retreats and just how he shows up. And so, Titus, when we were walking through the events of this weekend, What'd you see out there?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. We do some crazy things at these uprisings. Am I right, guys? Am I right? I mean, hey, listen, you come to Uprising any year, you're going to find something, you're like, whoa, it's a little much. And I'll say this right now, we're not a cult, all right? We're just creative. We're not a cult, we're just creative, all right? I'm going to preface this, all right? It's just what we do. It's just what we do. Ben has a story, I'll tell you. You're going to think to yourself, that sounds like a cult, and I'm telling you, it's not. It's just a lot of creativity that goes into these things. But, I mean, man, a year for the books. Going out to Broken Bow, a new location that we usually do, and all kinds of curveballs get thrown. But, man, it was one of the best uprisings I've seen of all time. I mean, the guys came ready to worship, and they came ready to receive God's word. And we started out Thursday night, like Jordan talked about, with all kinds of great words from PT, who said they couldn't be here today. He fought all weekend to get these guys the word that was put on his heart by God. And I'll tell you, that's something else. That's cool to be led, I think all of us, be led by a man who has grit, who's willing to walk through the fire. So let's give honor to him real quick. But what he spoke about was walking through the fire. And we talked about the other four points as well, and walking through the fire, man, it's like, what a concept, right? To walk through a fire knowing you might get burned, knowing the sacrifice it takes. And what the guys didn't know is, as we were saying, walking through the fire all weekend, is that they were going to do a fire walk. So it fit perfectly, right? Of course. Again, not a cult, creative, a fire walk. And so we talk about walking through the fire and what that means, you know, to not give up when times get hard, when things come up, that you stay and you keep going, you keep walking forward. And then it tied in perfectly to what we did the next day. We had this maze, and then the guys had to drink this. I mean, the only thing I can call is like a concoction of ingredients that no one should consume. It smelled like death. I mean, it's terrible. But they drank it, and it was awesome, all right? It was just something about it. It was just amazing. We go through this maze. We have karaoke, all kinds of things. And then we get to the lakefront where we have our big event. And it was amazing to see these guys just really, you know, dive into what we're doing. Because you have a choice out there every single time we do these crazy things. You can look at it and be like, this is silly. This is dumb. What am I doing out here? Or you can have a perspective of, man, what am I about to experience with my brothers? Man, what is God about to do with all of this? And so what we did, we got to the lakefront, they do all kinds of activities to collect these ropes. And they did a human pyramid, they did this labyrinth, and then they were pulling this cross beam. And man, it got powerful. Even before we got to the part that, you know, we plan on being the powerful moment, like guys are already having moments. And it's like, to see what God can do, not because of our plan, but because of his power. Man, that's what it's about. And so as they collect these ropes, they connected, and as they connected them, it led them into the water, this 40-degree water. Oof. Was it cold, boys? Yeah, I bet it was. Again, not a cult, but it's... There we go. We've learned. Good job, everyone. And so they get out to this water, and they're going to this point where all these buoys have labeled where they're going. And so as this rope connects, they get to the buoys, and they start to pull up this box, and this box is weighted, so it's tough to pull up, and you'll see that they have to all hold on and contribute to getting this box up. And as they lift it up and they get it to the shore, as they, you know, they fight back, what's in that box is their verses. So their word from God was right below the surface, but it took them holding onto the rope. It took them fighting through. And that's what it's about, man. I'll tell you that, that's what it's about. God's word is right there waiting for you if you're just willing to hold on a little longer, to fight a little longer. And so a story I want to share is about a guy named Josh Acosta. Josh Acosta has been coming to Fuse since, what, sixth, seventh grade? Grew up with me and Jordan, and Josh was all in at Fuse. He came in, and he was just a go-getter kid who loved Jesus. But as time wore on, you know, a walk with God, it has always some missteps. You know, he started to wane a little bit, and college hit hard, and he lost his way. And then he came to Uprising last year, you know, out of the dark year of 2020. And he found something he never had before, and it was grit. He never had to learn grit, but he had to go through the hard time to get to this time. And so last year when he came, he had a life-changing moment. I remember we were up till like 3 a.m. on the last night talking. And he's like, what's next? Like, what should I do next? Like, how do I keep this going? How do I continue? And I said, hey, man, just serve. I'm telling you. Like, I'm not a theologian or anything like that, but just serve. Just serve. That's all I can tell you. Just serve. Watch what God does with you saying yes to serving. And man, one of the big points this weekend was don't tell me. And Josh showed me. When he got back from Uprising last year, he dove into serving. He serves in Fuse and in the Zone every single week, pouring into the next generation. I see kids walk in and run up to him and give him a hug and tell him that that is his best friend because of him saying yes to serving. And so now he's here this year at Uprising. And man, think about the transformation he went through in just a year. It's inspired me. But when we got out to the water, Josh has a fear of water. And so we got out there, and I guess it's pretty cold, man. So I get it, you know, I understand. Well, keep your collars, you don't know what's in that water, right? But you just keep going, you keep going, you keep going. And so I see the fear on his face as he's approaching the water. And, you know, I'm like, oh boy, how's this gonna go? How's this gonna go? And I watch his guys encourage him, and he starts to wade into the water, and he gets all the way to the box and helps him pull it up, and he gets all the way back. And he faces his fears. I love that moment for him. I loved it. Because that was like, what we're doing out here. You're facing these things. It's a great analogy of what we're doing. But then we get to the fire walk that night. And it's hot. It's hot. I mean, not too hot. Nobody got burned. Right, boys? Y'all good? Y'all okay? Oh, boy.
In first service, they were like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, first service was like, oh, yeah. No, we got this. Y'all are the honest ones, okay? We are in church. Come on. But it was hot. And Josh is the last one in his group to go. And he, you know, he kind of walks up to it. And, you know, it's like the coal and the ash right there. And he, like, looks at it. And he looks at me. Like, I'm like, hey, man, you got this. You got this. Come on, come on. You got this. And he takes one step. And takes another step. And another step. And he makes it across the firewalk. And what I noticed in both of those stories of the water and the fire is that he had his brothers around him to be there for him to face the fears. Man, it's not wrong to have fears. But you better have your brothers around you when you're facing them, right? Come on. That's where the power is. That's where it's in the community. It's in the guys around you encouraging you. So I want to share this verse, and then I'll be done because I already got over my limit for sure. PT preached this the second night, and it's about Paul, like Jordan said. And Paul is facing the end of his life, about to be killed in Rome. And, you know, PT talked about, you know, how beaten Paul had gotten, how mistreated he had gotten at this point, and he's about to be killed. And you think in that moment, right, you're going to have some anger towards God. You're going to have some resentment. Like, God, I've been following you all this time. Why is life turning out like this? But it's not how Paul sees it. Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." What I see there is momentary. Momentary troubles. These things that we go through, the situations that we are put through, man, if you're just willing to walk a little longer, to hold on a little longer, to fight a little longer, man, God's word is going to get you. It's going to change your life. And that's Uprising 2022 right there. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Man, that's good. And, I mean, as Titus mentioned, me and Josh go way back to the way back. We were just young lads. And I found him after we had walked through the fire together. And I said, "Hey, man, did you ever think that you'd jump in a running river and walk through fire coals in the same day of your life?" And he said, "No, never." But I'm glad I'm here, and I love you. And I was like, "Yeah, man, that's what it's about." You think it's possible that doing something that is out of his comfort zone and a physical act that he never thought he'd be able to do might translate into his everyday life of doing things he never thought he'd be able to do? I think so. That's the kind of stuff that's going on at Uprising. Ben, what'd you see out there?
Oh, man. I have some stories, for sure. However, I've been told to keep it around 5 minutes, even though I've been told I have a gift of gab.
Second service,
that's okay. But yeah, so as those boxes, yeah, don't, do not tempt me. But as those boxes came out of the water, like Titus was I'm sharing, there was scripture, and each scripture was wrapped around three nails, and these nails symbolized commitment. We're going to commit. However, there's three other nails that were in there, and they were a little different. These nails were to be used to affix the cross member to the railroad cross. And it's an opportunity for a champion to take this nail and to drive it into that cross beam and affix it. And what that did is, one, it's letting the leaders and the men speak truth into these young men, older men, from a different perspective. We all have a perspective of who we are on the inside, and sometimes it takes that outside voice to remind us who we are in Jesus. And the story I have is for a young man. He's the next generation, and I'm going to share a story about this generation. But the next generation, Aaron Wilson. For those of you that know Aaron Wilson, I'm sure know his story. For those that do not know his story, he's a gentleman right there in the center of the screen with the stocking cap on. Lost his mother pretty suddenly, and as a probably a few years back, and the father was not involved, nor did the father want to get involved. And so a family, the McConnells, adopted him and made him definitely one of their own. And so Aaron was chosen by his team, by his leaders, to take this nail and to drive it into that cross member. And I just happened to be positioned to where I could see it and I could watch him. And he put that thing down and started swinging. And he swung, and he swung, and he swung, and he swung. And the echo of steel hitting steel was resonating, you know, against the bluff across the river and through the timber. And there's, I mean, all these other sounds of thuds of these hammers hitting these crosses. And he kept swinging and kept swinging and swinging. Pretty soon his shirt came off, and he started swinging again. And he swung. Not only was this nail embedded now in the wood of that cross, but he swung till he could physically not swing anymore. And I thought, man, that's pretty incredible. And I saw Aaron this morning, and I talked to him briefly. I said, "Hey, do you know the rest of this story? Do you know the past stories on this nail?" I said, no. He said, cool, because I'm going to tell you about it today. And so this generation, Justin McConnell, Aaron's dad, about 8 years ago, about to the day, he was in my group, and that year, you know, again, not a cult, creative. We decided that we were going to stuff some dummies with a bunch of mulch and rocks, and our guys are going to carry these dummies all weekend long, and you take it with you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. If you leave it, you'll be punished. Whatever. Take it with you. Take it with you. And the guys did. And you know what? It was a little bit like, what are we doing? What's the purpose of this? What? Like, this is, you know, what's the purpose? The purpose was at the cross. Purpose at the cross. That dummy represented the old self, the man that gets put to death. Because in Christ, we are a new creation, right? And so all my guys were, you know, putting nails in both hands, in the feet, until Aaron's dad, Justin, adopted dad, Justin, got on the cross, straddled it, and put that nail right in the middle of that thing's back. And he drove that nail, and he swung, and he swung, and he swung, and he swung, and mutilated the dummy, and kept swinging and swinging and swinging until he could swing no more. And I was like, whoa, I'm watching Aaron. And I go up, Justin had kind of filtered up just outside the circle of a men, and I kind of put my arm around him. I said, man, does that remind you of anything? And he kind of looked at me, you know, and he knew exactly what I was talking about. He knew exactly what I was talking about. He buried his head, and we kind of had a moment, right? But I thought, what an incredible picture. An adopted son reflecting the father's choice to walk through the fire and to, like, give his life for their life. Yeah. And now there's this reflection. Yeah. And now there's this reflection, like supernatural reflection from father to son. And I'm like, Jesus, I mean, how can we not miss who we are in Christ and the reflection that comes from his people that are willing to walk through the fire to give their lives for others? It's powerful. It's powerful. And so, man, I'm going to just wrap it up with, there's so many stories like that. And for all you dudes that went to Uprising, make sure you put a spike in that day that God showed up and he proved to you who he was. You know it. Don't ever forget it.
Generational life change is a foundational structure of this church. And I love that we found that in that story. I love that down here just a few minutes ago, I get to see dads with their sons worshiping the name of Jesus. And I remember last year somebody told me, my son's not to that age yet, but I'm going to be here long enough that I'll worship with my kid one day. And I got to see that guy down here with his kid today. That was pretty awesome. Yeah. I believe a guy got his dad and his son at Uprising. This for the first time we had three-generation family at Uprising. That's awesome. So goodness is happening. Derek, what you got?
Yeah, I think one of the beauties of Uprising is that there are so many stories to tell that we simply do not have the time. We don't have the time to share all the amazing things that God did in a mere 48 hours. And honestly, I'm going to share a story about another young adult. You know, I spent most of my time with the young adults, and I was reflecting on that we had three stories of young men in our church, and I hope you guys as fathers, you know, maybe don't feel left out, but I know that we had almost 30 young men at Uprising this year, and their life changes because of the choices and the commitments that you've made over the years. So I know that their life changes because of the life change that you've already experienced and are experiencing. So I want to thank you guys for what you've already done for our church. But, you know, like it was kind of touched on, one of the impactful, I think, and the most important takeaways that we saw this year at Uprising was don't tell me, but show me. That your word needs to mean something. If you reach out a hand and you shake someone's hand like that and you say, I'm going to do something, it needs to mean something. That your words are good, but your actions are gold. That they matter in this life. And if what you do, it really matters so much more than what you say. And one of the best examples that I can think of that showed that was my friend Logan. I've been friends with this young man. I've been lucky enough to know him for about 3 years now. And his first Uprising was 2019. And Logan is the guy that is all in on his job. He is smart. He is successful. He is great at what he does. And he is great at committing to things in life. But he's also great at making sure that he is not going to commit to something that he's not ready to. His word, like he is so, like he is, he mean, he knows that his words mean something. And so he is at Uprising 2019, he also knew that he wasn't ready to commit. So he didn't share his words. I was his leader that year, and I remember approaching him, and I knew a breakthrough was happening in his life. I saw the tears. I saw what was going on in his life, and yet I asked him, hey, talk to me. What's going on? What is God doing right now? And he said, no. He said no because he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to share, and he wasn't ready to commit. And so we go through the lost year of 2020. 2021 happens, and he missed out because he had a work commitment. And work got in the way of God's life change in his life. But he comes to this year, and I walking into it, I was like, I don't know what to expect from Logan. That's the reality is I didn't know what to expect from him because I didn't know what version of Logan was going to show up. And so he gets there, and almost immediately I start hearing from his leaders, hey, Derek, there's something different about Logan this year. There's something different about that young man. And I start hearing about how he's talking in their small group time, about how he is now leading the other men around him, that he is pushing them on accountability and that their commitments mean something and that there are people waiting at home for them to make the commitments that they need to make that weekend. And so all of a sudden, this man that was scared to commit to even say words to me about the life change that he was experiencing was now pouring into men around him and showing the leader that we all knew he was. And so then we go through the big event, and I see him sitting on the side at the end of it. He gets his verse, and he's weeping, openly weeping, because I see that the weight of failed commitments in his life, of what other men had done to him and how other men had failed him, he was now letting that go at the foot of the cross. And so he goes through this moment, and he gets the small group later, and we're all sitting around a campfire together, and he is pushing. He is talking about how important it is that if we're going to make a commitment, if we're going to drive some nails into a piece of wood, that when we get home, that needs to mean something. That's not just some fun thing we do in Broken Bow. That needs to equal life change when we get home. And so Logan stands up in the middle of this group, and he says, I'm ready to commit. I'm ready to commit right now in front of my brothers that I don't want to be a Christian just on Sunday. That my faith isn't dictated just on Sunday and it's not isolated to Sunday alone, but I want to worship Jesus with everything I have Monday through Saturday as well. Because that's what my Savior is worth. That's what my wife deserves. Yeah. He knew that his family needed that. He knew that his friends needed that and the brothers around him needed that. And so he stood up and he looked his leader in the eye and he held his hand and said, I'm ready to shake on it. I'm ready to commit on this, and you are going to see me around more. You're going to see me commit to what God is doing. And man, I encourage you, for the men that were there, don't let those nails just be nails. Let that mean something in your life, because where we're going, we need you. And if you weren't there, if you were a man and you were not able to come this year, I challenge you that maybe this time, next year, you're there. Be ready to make that commitment, because we need you. We need you there. Because there's life change waiting for you. And our future as a church depends on it.
So much goodness. Hollis, what'd you see out there?
Yes, we saw so much. And as has already been stated, there's no way we could share all of the stories. And so before I begin, I want to challenge those of you that might not have been able to make it to reach out to some of these guys that did make it and ask them to share their stories. Because I know that there was life change that took place all over the place in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. Also, as mentioned, you know, we did some crazy fun things. We spent a lot of time in the water, and we spent time amongst paths and things that I think might have been trails, probably not, you know, but we used them for what we needed to use them for. And there's one thing that we always talk about, and give a quick shout out to our facilitator team. Yeah, make some noise for them real quick. It is hard to tell how many hours they put in to helping us test things like the firewalk. And there were probably 5 tests that failed before we were almost confident that it would work. But they are willing, every year we ask them to do it, to put in all the time and the energy. And at this uprising, we had this plan, and we had this beautiful spot picked out. And it was at this river, and it was just amazing. Across the way, you could see the forest, and you could see, it's going to be perfect. And we go out there, and we do our thing. Pastor Ben loses his breath in the water as soon as he gets out there, because it was a little cold, you know. But we run through all of the things that we're asking you guys to do, and we have it all situated, and we have this debate. Man, we should leave some of this stuff out here so it's already set up. I'm thankful we didn't do that, you know, because not too long after we were in the water, we hear these sirens go off, which indicate that they're about to open the dam and start releasing water. So by the time we left, the water went up about a foot and a half. And we're like, okay, that's going to be okay. We're not going to leave anything, but that's okay. Well, I get a text the next morning from the guy that we're renting these kayaks from. And he's like, I'm sorry, I can't rent you the kayaks. The river is impassable, and it's actually illegal for us to do that. And so at first, I'm like, I'm about to debate with this guy. This is going to be fun. And then he said that, and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do it. And so I tell our guys, I tell our facilitator team, and in that moment, you could be frustrated, and you can be, you know, irritable and all those things, or you could say, all right, we'll figure it out. So we send some guys, and they go, and they find this perfect spot. And this perfect spot, you know, it is what it is. It's in the state park. We're going to do all that we can. We set it up. Everything is going well. And I'm going to tell you that out there, life change happened. And I believe that that was going to be the perfect place for that life change. Because where we ended up being allowed us to all be in close proximity of each other. To where before, we would have been spread out all over the place. But I believe that when we were in close proximity, we were able to feel and witness some of the stories, like Aaron Wilson going to town on that nail. And there's so many stories we could share. But I also want to talk a little bit about our team leaders. Our team leaders did an incredible job this week. We challenged them 8 to 10 weeks ago to jump in and read the Bible together, to pray together, to make sure that they were ready. And they were praying far before they had any idea who was going to be in their groups. And I tell you, all of that led to the life change we were able to witness. And I believe, you know, we talk about a verse around here, John 15:5, that talks about abiding in him and he in you, and then you'll bear much fruit. You'll see a lot of life change. You'll see these things happening. And we were able to witness that. And I believe it was because our team leaders were so ready in the word and through prayer. And I also believe that that is not just a recipe for being ready for something like uprising. That's the recipe to be ready for anything life throws at you. That if you will be prepared in the word, be ready and through prayer, but then lean on the brothers that you're sitting around, then you will be able to beat every challenge, every obstacle, every stronghold that presents itself. So I challenge you, don't look at uprising as, oh man, that was a ton of fun and I learned a lot of stuff. No, let it change you. Let it change you. We learned a phrase, Pastor Tim, shared with us, that talked about when leading people and loving your wife and loving your kids, to think from a perspective of, I love Jesus more than I love you, and then lead them that way. Lead them that way. We know that we are in an incredible place right now at Genesis Metro Church. We know that God is doing great things, and we know that he's going to continue to do great things because of our obedience. And I believe that in this group of men that went to Uprising, that we have the core of guys that are going to allow us to share the gospel, to share God's love with everybody that walks through those doors. And I believe that it will be genuine and authentic, and I believe that it will continue to lead to life change. But I also know that we can't do it without you. So we made commitments this weekend, and some of them are very tangible. Like we can see, either you're keeping it or you're not. But if you said that you would, then expect the accountability that comes with love, because we know that I love Jesus more than I love you. So I will be confident in having conversations of things that are going great and when times of accountability need to be had. And I expect our leaders to do the same, and I expect all of our men who were there this week and made that commitment to do the same. So we had an incredible time, and I'll tell you that all of those things led to immediate life change being witnessed because we were able to baptize 14 of our guys. 14 of our guys made the decision to get baptized because of the life change that they experienced at Uprising. 14 guys are saying yes to the commitment to following after Jesus and chasing him with their everything and serving him with their everything, becoming the triple threat that we talk about. So you don't have to look far to see the fruit when God is working. You just have to be ready to pour into people, to love people, to be there for people, and allow God to do what God does, and you'll begin to see it. So join me in prayer as we close out the service. We are so very thankful for everything. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, and we know that you continue to do great things, and what an honor and privilege it is for us to be able to be a part of it, to be able to see it in a 36-hour time frame, to be able to watch men go from just standing there during worship to Friday night, arms held high, voices lifted loud, worshiping you because they know that you are worth it. Lord, I pray for the men that were not at Uprising this year. I pray that they would hear the stories and become inspired and encouraged. I pray that they too will consider the same commitments that were made at Uprising, because it's going to take all of us. If we are going to reach all of the lost that we possibly can, it's going to take us all. I pray for Pastor Tim as he continues to live out the vision that God placed on his heart. And I pray that as we continue to move forward, that we continue to see life change happen. You're an amazing God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.